Welcome to the podcast. This podcast is entitled Waco and the Constitution. So I just got finished watching that Waco. There's a Waco documentary on Netflix right now. I had watched the other one that was like a movie a couple years ago. It was pretty good. And it basically told the same story. This one was a documentary, so it interviewed people and stuff like that. It got me thinking about, and they kind of bring it up in the movie a little bit, the defense attorney at the end talks about the Fourth Amendment and stuff, and I, you know, at the time, way back in, what was it, 93, people argued about, you know, the federal government, the role of the federal government, all that stuff back then. And so, I don't know, maybe you've already thought this through, but here's some of my ideas about it. Think about Lexington and Concord. The British are occupying Boston because there were some problems with the colonists there. The Boston Tea Party, right? We don't need to go into it, but the point is, the people in Concord, which was the bigger town, Lexington was the smaller town, they had set up a local militia, which they were entitled to do, to protect the little town they were in. And so they did. And that's what towns did back then, and states did too. But they were organized by the government, so the government would pay these guys to train regularly and defend the town and the area around the town. But where did these guys get their weapons? I don't know all the details. Some of them didn't get their weapons from the government, though. They just had weapons already. And so they would organize these guys and they would go out and defend the town if need be. This was totally regular and normal. And so the people shooting at the British that day, when the British came to take their weapons, the militia's weapons, which, as far as I know, were like heavy weapons, not small arms, but like cannons and gunpowder and stuff that an army needs. The British came to take it because there was a rebellion in the colony. And so one of the things was, well, let's get out into the countryside and show the colonists that we mean business. The king's troops are here. We're not going to put up with this crap anymore. So we're going to go take your guns. And word got out and they moved the guns out. And so they didn't really find much that day. But what they did find was, as far as I know, about 800 colonists who shot at them and who fought them and drove them all the way back to Boston. And that's the start of the Revolutionary War. Now, why do I bring that up? How much is that like what happened in Waco? I'm not saying it's the exact same thing, but is it similar? Maybe. The main thing I want to focus on is, what kind of weapons did the Founding Fathers think we should have? And there's some other things about Waco too, but that's one of them. What kind of weapons did they think we should have? They said over and over again, and the entire founding generation agreed with this, that the American people should be armed enough to fight off a tyrannical government. That's what they said. That's historical. If you want to talk to some gun grabbers, they don't know what they're talking about. They just distort history. If you understand the founding period, they would never have put up with the government disarming the people. And not disarming them so they can go hunting. Not disarming, you know, not so, not letting them have guns so they can go hunting or do sharpshooting or target practice or whatever. No, so that they can wage war against a government that's waging war against them. That's the point of the Second Amendment. And there's plenty of evidence for it. This is a stupid argument. There's so much evidence for it. Now, you can argue that we shouldn't have the Second Amendment anymore. Okay, that's a totally separate argument. But the argument over no, the founding fathers didn't want us to have guns to fight a tyrannical government. No, that's exactly why they wanted us to have guns. So stop it. It's such a dumb argument. So then the question is, well, what kinds of guns? You know, and Biden stupidly says all the time, you think you could have a cannon? You think you could have a cannon? Well, I don't know. But I think the founders wanted the people somewhere to have a cannon, Biden, not only the government to be armed. That was the point. So, yeah, you know, and you hear debates around this. Did they want individuals to have a cannon in their garage or whatever the equivalent of a garage was back then? I bet if you were talking to Thomas Jefferson, he would say, yeah, the people should be armed to the teeth because governments turn tyrannical and we don't only want the government to have weapons. Now, how does that work today? Aircraft carriers, right? But back then they had warships, pretty powerful warships. And I don't think they were against private people. I know they weren't against this because they put in the Constitution that the federal government can hire people to fight on behalf of the United States government. I think it's called Letters of Mark and Reprisal. And so where would those warships come from if they weren't in private hands? So the idea was that the people shouldn't be afraid of their government. The people shouldn't be worried that they're going to get sent to a camp or that they're going to get raided or that they're going to be powerless before their own government. That was the point, because that's human history. Even in England, which was a relatively free country, the king had a military that he could use to push the people around. And he did. He did it to us. So that's what they're worried about. So then the question comes to, what happened in Waco? Were their rights violated? I don't know. They had guns that technically they're not allowed to own. Now, an M60 machine gun is a machine gun. It's pretty formidable. It's not nothing, right? It's not just an M16. It's like you put it on a tripod and, you know, cover an area with it. They use it, you know, they use it in Vietnam all the time. I don't know if we still use them. I think we use different things now. They also had a 50 caliber sniper rifle, which could shoot through a lightly armored tank. And so, people can own 50 caliber rifles today. I don't know if they're allowed to own armor piercing rounds. But the question is, should they be able to have that or not? Should only the government be able to have an M60 machine gun? I don't know. Because, you know, I'm not defending what they were doing in there, but just remember, from the reason that the ATF went in there was to get the guns. I don't think they knew about all the sexual abuse of the kids that was going on. I don't think that was why they went in. At least that's not how they presented it on the show. On the show, it was, oh, they have a whole bunch of illegal weapons. We got to go get them. And that's our job as the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. So they take a squad of like 40, like a SWAT team of like 40 guys, pretty heavily armed. And they just show up one morning and they're going to kick the door in and go get all the guns. But the Branch Davidians get tipped off and they light them up. It's like this gun battle. It's like this little battle that happens. And they have an M60 machine gun and who knows what else they have. And so it turns into, because they killed four ATF agents. And I don't know how many of the people inside got killed. I know some of them did. But at that point, the ATF is like, well, we're going to get these guys now. And we're in charge and we're going to show them. Or at least that's how it's presented in the documentary. Is that what the government should be doing against citizens? Is that what we created it to do? Now, you know, I'm not for shooting cops. I'm not for breaking the law. I'm for law and order, right? But so were the founders. The founders were not radicals. Maybe Sam Adams a little bit, but he's just kind of a radical. he was at the convention that declared independence. But anyway, most of them were like John Adams, lawyers, business owners. They were not rabble rousers. They were not out in the streets rioting. So what drove these guys to declare war on what was at the time their own government? They started to see it as not their own government because they had no say in it. It was just far. Like, I compare it a lot of the time to, think if there was a colony on the moon or Mars or something, but the moon is better example, I think, because the Mars is so far away. What does it take, a year to get there? If we form a colony on the moon, there's not going to be a whole lot of interaction between Earth and Mars. It'll just be like voyages that drop things off, but you're not going to send an armada to Mars. I mean, I don't, who knows, maybe you could, but the moon is a much more feasible example, because if you have, imagine there's a colony there, and at first it's fledgling, and then, you know, it grows and grows, and we kind of just leave it alone. And then over time, they become pretty wealthy, and they become more wealthy than the people on Earth, and their situation in a lot of ways is better than the people back home. And so eventually the United States says, hey, you don't pay any taxes, but you're part of the United States. So you're going to start paying some taxes. It's a pretty small tax, but you're still going to pay it. And the people on the moon say, yeah, no, we don't have any say. We don't have votes in Congress. We don't vote for the president. We're mooners. We're not part of Earth anymore. We're our own thing now. And then there's a fight over it, right? We can get to the moon quicker, much quicker than they could go from Britain to America. It took like 6 weeks. What does it take us? 3 days on a rocket ship. So they're far away, and they saw themselves as something different. And so what caused these people, these average, not rabble rouser people, not revolutionaries, to turn into revolutionaries? No, it was a tyrannical government. It was a government that they saw as taking away their rights. So is that what was going on in Waco? They were breaking the law. They had guns that they weren't allowed to have. I think you can get a permit for an M60 machine gun. I've seen them on YouTube. Somebody owns them. You can get a permit for a 50 cal. I don't know if you can get a permit for a million rounds of ammunition, but why not? Why not? If you're not threatening anyone, if you're not a cartel, if you're not doing anything wrong, who gets to tell you that you can't have that stuff? And then people will say, well, you can't have a grenade. All right, but why not? I mean, really, why not? Because you don't want people next door to be able to do harm. They could do harm. I could bash my car into somebody's house if I wanted. That wouldn't, you know, people could do things to other people. You could make a little bomb and you don't need a grenade to make a bomb. I don't know how to do it, but I'm sure people know how. People can do harm to other people, but we just focus on guns as the only way to do harm. And sometimes I wonder why. So this is the problem, is that the ATF sees themselves as law and order, right? They're the good guys. And the people inside see themselves as their rights being violated, because they're being assaulted and they're just defending themselves against the what they see as a tyrannical government. And so now here's the other thing. They have a warrant. Imagine if the whole warrant thing didn't exist, right? The cops couldn't search your house no matter what. Imagine that was the case. And we were like, yeah, no, I'm secure in my, you know, my personal effects and all that stuff. Because the Fourth Amendment, yeah, guarantees us a certain amount of privacy, but it's, you can violate that with a warrant. And so how much does a warrant really make a search reasonable? I mean, I think it does. I think the government should be able to do that. But imagine if somebody, if we didn't have that law and somebody just introduced this idea that, hey, we need to pass a law that says a judge can give a warrant to cops and then they can just search anyone's house that they think might be committing a crime or doing something illegal. I don't think people would be in favor of that. It's just this inherited thing that we assumed in the legal system, and we just accept it. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't accept it, but something to think about, I think, is does a warrant make a search automatically reasonable? Are there unreasonable warrants? And I'm sure the lawyers have thought this through. Was what the ATF did that day reasonable? Yeah, once the Branch Davidians started shooting at them, it was a totally different thing. But the ATF provoked it. Were the Branch Davidians acting in self-defense? They thought they were, but they thought they were, I mean, I don't know. They had this apocalyptic vision of what was going to happen because of their religion. But was that self-defense? I mean, the cops said, we're law enforcement and we have a warrant. And then David Koresh slammed the door and everybody started shooting at the cops. So, you know, they're breaking the law. They were breaking the law to begin with. But just because the cops have a warrant, does that give them the right to just do crazy things? And maybe that wasn't crazy, but, you know, a small army shows up in front of your house. Then you're just supposed to sit there? Like that guy who was arrested because at some point in front of a Planned Parenthood, some Planned Parenthood guy was getting in his 12-year-old son's face and he pushed the guy out of the way. And they send, like, cops with their guns drawn to come get this abortion rights or this anti-abortion protester guy. I mean, it's completely outrageous and completely there to intimidate them and him and his family. It's this, like, goon squad that they sent out. Now, this is different. But the Branch Davidians hadn't, at least as far as the ATF knew, done anything illegal yet other than possessing those weapons. I don't think they went in there to help save those children from being molested. They were just going in there to get the guns. Now, it is true, what do you do if you just go up and peacefully say, hey, can we have your guns? And they're like, no. Then at some point, maybe you have to have a confrontation. But I don't know. It just feels like government overreach. It just feels like I don't want that going on. You know, and if that's what would happen all over the country if they tried to take our guns. There are a lot of people who would just roll over. And I think too many would just roll over and be like, well, we shouldn't have guns anyway because, you know, we don't need them. And the government's like our parents and they'll just take care of us. Yeah, until you get sent to a camp. I mean, people are so just brainwashed, brain dead. I don't know. But it just, as an American, it just kind of goes against what I like to see the government just kicking these people's door in. you know, I'm not saying they should have shot at the cops that day. All that would have happened is they go in there, they seize the guns, maybe they arrest a few people, and then it was over. So, you know, there's an argument to be made that those people shouldn't have, they weren't acting in self-defense, but it just seems weird to me. Okay, and at the end of the video, his defense lawyer, David Koresh's defense lawyer, and defense lawyers are kind of slimy, some of them, because they have no qualms about getting off a murderer like OJ or whatever, okay? And they'll just say, well, the other side didn't do their job. And it's like, that's what you hang your hat on? But they care about rights, and they care about the legal system being honest. And they fight like junkyard dogs for their clients' rights. Because in a way, I think they justify it by they're fighting for everybody's rights. Because if somebody's rights are violated, then your rights could be violated. So they fight for these principles. Anyway, they talk about, well, you'll see if you watch the movie, but he talks about the Fourth Amendment and how he doesn't like expound on it. He just mentions the Fourth Amendment and unreasonable search and seizures and stuff. And that's what those guys in the compound thought was happening, that this was unreasonable, what the ATF did. And so they defended themselves. Some other ideas about this. Think about cell phones. Go watch a clip of Joe Rogan's interview with Edward Snowden. Whatever you think of Edward Snowden, my opinion of him has changed over time, but the government can just spy on us whenever it wants. And after 9/11, they just admitted this. They kind of act like they can't now. I bet they still can. But like, right now, I have my cell phone next to me. They could just listen if they want. They probably don't care about. Like, I was listening to Condoleezza Rice in an interview once, and she's like, nobody's listening to your conversation with your grandma. But they could. She didn't say this, but they could. Now, why? Because they just started recording everything after 9/11 so that after the fact they could, when there was a terrorist attack or they heard chatter or whatever, they could go after the fact and put the pieces together. And I've made the argument before that this is just like a warrant after the fact. But I've kind of changed my mind on that and I don't like it mainly because the government is so corrupt. I don't trust a thing that they do anymore. Look at all the stuff that's gone on with Trump. Whatever you think of Trump, he has been harassed and harassed and harassed by the FBI, by the entire deep state, which seems like it's a real thing. So yeah, I don't trust the government anymore. Sorry. COVID and the vaccine passports and the vaccine mandates and the FBI screwing over General Flynn and that whole thing where they kind of like concocted this scheme against Governor Whitmer that wasn't real, and whatever they did with January 6th, I don't know how much they did, but the government is incredibly shady. Should we be surprised that people in power abuse their power? No, the Americans should always be suspicious of people in power. And we have good reason to be, because the government is thoroughly corrupted at this point. So no, I don't want a corrupt regime or corrupt bureaucracy recording everything I say everywhere I go. No thanks. I don't want that. And I don't want government or companies that do the bidding of government to silence people during a pandemic, to toe the party line, people who aren't towing the party line. Think about how insane that was, how in the dark we were. It was like we were living in communist China. I don't want the government to have that. There was this guy interviewing Bob Lazar, the UFO guy who's been around for 40 years now. And they went out in the woods and left their cell phones at home And I guess, I don't know who, but the feds, somebody, got a hold of them and were upset that they couldn't listen to them. Like, I can't remember, Corbell is the guy's name who interviewed him. I can't remember where I saw this interview. Jeremy Corbell, I think, is the interviewer's name. Anyway, that proved right there that they're listening and that they can listen whenever they want. And so I know of a story where there were 911 tapes. And on the tapes, the phone call didn't start off, "Oh, 911, what's your emergency?" The phone call started off with people saying, "Oh, I better call 911. Because they were recording before that. AT&T, I guess, I heard a thing in the 80s or whenever they started coming out with cell phones. They just admitted that they recorded all the cell phone calls. I don't remember why. It was pre-9/11. They just record them all, have them on a hard disk somewhere. So everything you've ever said on a cell phone is sitting somewhere on a hard disk. And somebody could go listen to it. Now, do you trust the government enough to have that access? I don't. Because what if you become an enemy of the state? Or what if they go after you because you hate these people or that people, or something you do now that's completely benign in 10 years will be the new thought crime, right? We live in that kind of a world now. So that's something else to think about with this topic. Think about if you've read 1984, the party would have loved this. They had telescreens in every room. And they had, they would have to like wiretap people though. George Orwell never thought of the things that we have. Now it was 1984, not 2023, but, they could totally just anything. You'd have to go to great lengths to figure out or to hide what you're saying from the government. It's kind of scary, frankly. So back to Waco. Is it illegal to be weird? I know that's not all they were doing, but it kind of feels like it. What if there was just a bunch of gun nuts who had some gun that they found out? Like, because they had an informant in there anyway. Somebody had infiltrated the compound and acted like he was interested, and then he escaped and told the ATF all the guns that they had. What if it was some gun club? Would they go in there guns blazing? Or would they just kind of, "Hey guys, you're going to get arrested if you don't hand these guns over." I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't, but it kind of feels like they felt justified because these people were weird. It just kind of feels like also that the government just kind of feels like it can do whatever it wants. That's the feeling you get from federal law enforcement, that it's like, well, we're right, everyone else is wrong, whatever we want to do is righteous, and the people are stupid, and we can just run over them if we want. That's exactly what the revolution was started over. The idea that we don't have any rights, that we have rights, but up until a point, and then if the government needs to violate them, it can. I mean, that's what happened with COVID. I don't need permission from the government to go to Walmart. It's just insane. And so many people were like, "Well, I guess it's kind of like a driver's license." No, I don't mean to make fun of those people, but it's so aggravating. Come on, stick up for yourself. And then those same people in the same breath will say, "No, but you have the right to kill your baby in the womb. How dare you?" But if you need, I need permission from the government to go to Walmart to buy some eggs, that's fine. It's nuts. So, I mean, we need to have another argument, I guess, about... Because this is the original argument at the Constitutional Convention. What powers should the government have? And more importantly, what powers shouldn't it have? Yes, that's a thing, Democrats. totalitarians, not that all Democrats are totalitarian, but they don't think the government should have any limits because they believe the government can solve all of our problems, especially the super radical ones. And so if it needs to take away some of our rights, except they're sacred cows, like, you know what they are. Everything else is fair game. Especially when it comes to the federal government, and that's really what the constitutional arguments were about at the convention. State governments are different. But when people say the government, too often all they think about is the federal government. We have a federal system, and states have a lot of powers. The federal government has a lot of powers that are defined and written down. And if they're not in that document, then they don't have that power. Too many people have lost sight of that. The federal government only has the powers that we wrote down in that, in the Constitution. That's where the powers are listed. Not just whatever the president happens to think he should do that day, or whatever the bureaucracy thinks is best for us. That's communism. That's not a limited republic. So, just some thoughts on Waco and the Constitution. Thank you for listening. Oh, and if you're interested, again, my email is patriotanswers@tuta.io. TUTA.io.